Let's take our Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Trying to keep things simple on us today. The first song we sung was number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. It's right at the beginning of your phone. Sometimes we have to start saying, instead of turning your Bible, scroll in your phone. Mike Nagley does that so he can see the font bigger. Genesis chapter number 1. You know, it's been said that if you have any issue with Genesis 1:1 or John 1:1, that you're going to have issues throughout the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Aren't you thankful for that truth? I'm thankful that I serve the Creator. I want you to see something as we read down through here, and you'll see where we're going. I told you last Sunday afternoon, we're going to be taking a few, probably several weeks, and just reiterating things from Scripture by which we hold to that are not going to be changing. No matter what the government says, no matter which direction anybody goes, we're staying with it. So I want you to see this in Genesis chapter 1. I just want you to see this phrase. If you're one that's given to underlining or highlighting, you can see this several times as we go through Genesis 1. Bible says in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit," here's the prepositional phrase, "after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Verse 12, "And the Lord and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed," here's the phrase, "after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself," here's the phrase, "after his kind." What phrase are we looking for in Genesis chapter 1? "After his kind. And God saw that it was good." Jump down with me to verse 21. "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so." Verse 25, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth." You mean even those spiders and snakes we talked about? Yes. "After his kind, and God saw that it was good." I want to start preaching in verse number 26. You'll understand the context of Scripture here in just a little while. "After his kind, after their kind." Bible says, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Underline this phrase or highlight it, star it, whatever you need to do. "Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Turn the page if you need to. Go over to page number 18. Or excuse me, verse number 18, page 4 in my Bible. Nate, page 4. It is page 4 in Nate's Bible, too. We have the same. Verse number 18, "And the Lord said," and the Lord God said, "it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And God and Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they are both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." I want to remind us of the creation that we believe here at Granite State Baptist Church. We believe, yes, that God created everything in six literal days. But what I'd like to emphasize on today is that God made man and God made woman. God made male and God made female. I know, and I could list out all the jokes that take place right there, but I'm not going to. This is a serious subject across our nation today. I know we sit back with amazement and wonderment on how someone could get to the point here in America that they don't know if they're a male or a female. But may I remind us of this, that the identity crisis across America is more than just male or female. The identity crisis across America is just finding out who they are because they're not in Christ. And I found out as soon as someone can get in Christ and follow the principles of the Word of God and trust what the Scriptures say and trust God, I want to remind us of our doctrine at Granite State Baptist Church, that we believe that God made male and female and created he them. This is not just by the words of Moses that were recorded as the Lord Jesus Christ, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, gave it to him hundreds of years later. But let's take the time, turn over to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19, if we don't want to take Moses' word for it in the Word of God, let's look at what Jesus said. It says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Look how Jesus answered him. Verse 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Where is Jesus referencing at this point? Have you not read? Guess where they would read it? At the beginning of their Torah. At the beginning of the Pentateuch, the five books, the books of the law, the books of Moses. In Genesis chapter number 1, he's asking them, now listen, if Jesus is saying that it is enough that they should have read it in the Scriptures to know that to be true, why isn't that enough for us? Well, it's what the Bible, have you not read? You know how many times Jesus said that while he was here on this earth? In other words, just go back to the Scriptures. If you read it in the Bible, you ought to believe it. Have you not read? It's what the Bible says, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, male and female, as graciously as I'm able to. And I always pray that God gives me a spirit of grace while we're communicating. It says of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And I want to remind us, as we look in the scriptures, that God has only made and created two genders, male and female. Now, this isn't something that we made up. It's not something that we're angry with people. It's not something that we hate people. I love each and every person God made. But sometimes when we're looking at doctrine throughout the scriptures, we understand not everybody is lining up with biblical principles. And you say, Pastor, why now? Because you're going to be hearing a lot of this over the next few weeks. It's about to the point, if things go the way they're going here in America, that there'll be no bathroom, no locker room that is restricted from anybody saying they can go in there. Things are going like that across America. There's decisions that are being made. I'm going to encourage every one of our church members. This is coming up to the Senate. I will give you their names and telephone numbers to make a phone call and say, we oppose this and we oppose you voting for it when it comes to the Senate. And we need to stand against it. Why? Because I don't agree with the representative that stood on the House floor just a couple days ago and says what any religious sector belief claims that God says is of no matter whatsoever to Congress. I don't agree with that statement. You say, Pastor, you're going to start to get awfully political. No, we're just going to stay with the Bible. Now listen, we have it written down, and it's part of our Constitution and bylaws, that the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. So here's where we can't get off on. We can't get off on tangents using other things except for the Bible. We need to use the terminology of the Bible. We need to use Bible verses and Bible principles. That's why you won't hear it preached otherwise from this pulpit. Because I'm giving you a Bible that God created, male and female. And may I say that anything outside of that is contrary to biblical principles. And it's contrary to how God designed things. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created male and female. Now listen, you say, well, Pastor, don't go too far. I've got kids in the service. Hey, listen. They're getting more off that television you're letting them watch than what they'll get from this pulpit. And that's why it's being condoned. We're holding to biblical principles. Now take your Bibles. You say, Pastor, you're getting rough. Now take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. This is not something new. It's not. Even though I cease to be amazed at the wicked imaginations of man's heart and mind and actions. But we're reminded all the way back in Genesis chapters 5 and 6 that the thought of man was wicked continually. When you can get to Sodom and Gomorrah, and you have, according to James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you have just Lot that vexed his righteous soul and was willing to offer his daughters to the Sodomites that were outside instead of the two angels that came to dwell with him. You see the depravity of man. It's not something new that's just getting started. It's something that's been around. Romans chapter 1. Start reading with me in verse number 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You say, Pastor, why are you starting with that? Because there's absolutely nothing else down through here that can't be changed from other than the gospel. The gospel can change it. It can change a heart and life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now listen, all the way down through here, they are changing things about God. They're not changing God, but they're trying to change his truth, trying to take away his glory. And you do not mess with the glory of God. You don't take it away. Do you realize that's what was mentioned? And get off on a little tangent here. That's what was mentioned on the sin unto death and blasphemy of the Holy Ghost of God. That is attributing, the context in which Jesus said it, is attributing the works of God and the works of the Holy Spirit, attributing them to the devil. And there's only one that's worthy of the glory for what God does, and that's God himself. We better be very careful changing or taking God's glory. Now listen, do you understand why we're getting ready to read some things, why it gets into this context, and it's about homosexuality, that he starts off with change the glory of the incorruptible God? Whose image is man created in? God's image. So when that is changed, we are taking away from the very glory of God that he chose to create and reflect through each and every one of us to all mankind. Now look at this, change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Can I give you an outline right there? I heard this preached one time. Now listen to me. You got Santa Claus, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got the Easter Bunny, and you've got Halloween listed in verse number 23. Now you go ahead and look at the things that are taking glory away from God. They take away at Christmas from the virgin birth. They take away at resurrection time with a bunny laying chocolate eggs. Now go understand that. You say, well, Thanksgiving's not a religious... It was. It was a religious holiday when they gathered to thank God for his provision. And we won't even get into Halloween right now. Verse 24, wherefore, I'm just reading the Bible. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, why? Changing the truth of God into a lie, changing the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Hey, listen, you're going to get it as we read down through here. God made male and female and made them to perfectly fit together. But when you leave the natural use of the woman and the men leaving that, look at this, burned in their lust one toward another. Now, can I just pause and say this? And I'm going to get back to reading the Bible. We're just reading Bible this afternoon. That's not natural. It's not natural. If I can put it this way, now, it's not with the ladies either walking in here, but there's not one man that's ever walked by me and I've said, It's not happening. Now listen, if you're married to, it ought not to be happening with any other woman either. We'll get to that in just a moment too. Burned in their lust. That's more than just, Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. In other words, there's some things they're receiving in themselves. It's not right, and they're getting the recompense of their reward. They're getting the judgment for what they're doing. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Boy, don't they get upset about the even mention of God. Do you know why so many that choose this type of lifestyle will also choose to say that they're an atheist and don't believe in God? Because as soon as you say, I believe there's a God, that means you're accountable to him. As soon as you say, it's just easier for them, so they think, to say, I don't believe in a God, and try to shut him out of our lives, than to understand that there is a God and we're accountable to him. You say, no, Pastor, I'm thankful we're sitting in church today. Hey, I don't believe this is an issue in Granite State Baptist Church, but we need to be reminded where we believe and what we hold to. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled, verse 29, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You mean it can hit a younger generation too? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. You say, what's implacable, implacable, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. It means you can't be appeased. You ever notice, can I pause right there and we're going to keep reading? You ever notice it's not enough for this lifestyle for them to have the choice to be able to live it? If they want to choose to go against God, listen, we do have free will. But it's never enough and it's never pleasing. it's always something else going after it. Now it's not just let us live how we choose to live, even if it is against God. Now it's not let us have our civil unions. Now it's, well, we want to be married. Well, they can't redefine marriage because they didn't define it in the first place. We read it in Genesis 1. We read it in Matthew 19. God defined marriage. It's between a male and a female. Anything else is not marriage. It's not. That's scripture. You say, Pastor, that's the law of the land. No, I told you that this book is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. But no matter where it gets to, listen, there it's not, and I don't want to, it's not a us in that, it's sin. Okay? Sin's not going to be satisfied on the outside of your doorstep. Sin's not going to be satisfied until it is in your home, dwelling with you on a daily basis. And it's going to tear your family apart. Go ahead and let it in your home. We'll get to it. Let's keep reading. I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's the sad part, verse 32. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now listen, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, here's where we read Romans 1. Now listen, Romans 1 is still in the Bible. Still in the Bible. I'm being as gracious and loving, but this is where our church stands. You say, this isn't taking place in our church. I pray that it's not. Here's what God burdened my heart about this week. So I wonder how many are taking pleasure in the ones that are doing this. You say, what do you mean? You'll watch it on your phone. All right. There's too much pornography going around. You ain't got no business putting it on your phone. You'd say, I never watch man with man according to what the Bible says. No, but you'll watch the opposite of that. And it'll be on your phone. It'll be on your computer. It'll be on your television. Worthy of the judgment of God, taking pleasure in them that do it. And we look at that and say, oh, I'd never live that lifestyle. But we have our physical satisfaction by taking pleasure. And you allow it to come in on your television? Can I say this? It abhors me. Some of the things that I read about that are coming across television today. And you say, well, it's just cartoons. There ain't one cartoon worth watching since Roadrunner. And that was my dad's favorite, so that's the one that I grew up on. There ain't one. You say, well, they're adult cartoons. Ain't got no business whatsoever. I'm telling you, some of the things that are posted out there, I'm talking on Save Person social media, that the comment came from a certain sitcom, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't know what that is. Let me research that a little bit. And I find a little video clip of it, and I'm saying, you're posting that out there? In other words, showing that that's what you're watching? And that's your entertainment. And I'm saying, hey, why do we get all stirred up as Christians saying this is what's taking place in Washington? And this is what they're going to be forcing to take place inside the church house when for years it's already been allowed in your house. And taking pleasure in it. And the young folks are sitting there and watching it on a daily basis, and they know what comes across that YouTube. They know. That's why they shut it off. And I'm just pointing. I see two teenagers here. Got two more here. That's why they shut it off and clear their history, because they don't want to see it searched and what they're looking for. It's not a matter of it just popping up now, but now it's the curiosity of digging into it. Listen, we believe here at Granite State Baptist Church, it is male and female in the bonds of holy matrimony. And outside of that is wickedness against Almighty God. And it ought not to be condoned. It ought not to be said, hey, I've heard more than one wife say this. Well, that's just how men are today, isn't it? No. No. Well, that's just how ladies are. This is just a men's problem. Ladies don't have a problem with that. I beg to differ. It just started years ago with the soap operas through the day. Living in a fantasy land of this one having an affair with that one, and that's going to be the perfect guy, and this can all work out. No. It's biblical marriage. It's biblical male and female as God created us, and not outside the bounds of that. And it's not just participating, but even taking pleasure in it. It ought to grieve. You're sitting there watching your television program and that stuff comes up. Hey, listen, it's going to be every, you watch, it's going to be every sitcom, every TV show that's coming out. I guarantee it. They're going to weave it all into there, and you're going to sit there for hours and just let it play. And it's just going to get into your minds. You know what it's doing? Is just dulling us down to sin. You know what one writer I read this week, he made the statement. He said, why do we need revival today? He said, it's not just because of sin. Sin is all around us. He said, it's about the apathy and being comfortable with sin on why we need revival today. I want to encourage our families. We're missing out on a generation being raised. You know why? We don't have our eyes on our kids anymore. We got our eyes in our phones. We take the kids to the park to be have a wonderful time. We're missing hours of them growing up. Missing hours of it. Because Facebook can't wait 30 minutes. I found out the world doesn't change in 30 minutes. It's okay. But whatever happened to some moms and dads getting their face out of the phone and actually spending some time with their kids? Well, I'm spending time with my kids. No, you're letting something else entertain them while you're on your phone. And I'm thinking, look up. Wow, there's a whole world out there. Now listen, it's a wonderful tool. I keep in touch with just about everybody here by this right here. Sometimes I get so sick of this thing and I want to throw it as far as I can, get away from me. And I say, God, why is it that you have a D.L. Moody? Hey, our church is hosting a conference over at the D.L. Moody Center where he was born, where he preached, where he died, and God did miraculous things over there on that property. God, why can't you do that 120 years later? Because we're distracted and condoning all of this. Chapter 2, verse 1. Told you I'm just reading the Bible. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, church, I'm not sure where this is going to go in our nation. It's looking like it's going to get to the point that if someone walked in here and they wanted to, and it was an adult man that wanted to go in and use the ladies' restroom, according to the law of the land, they have the right to. Now, let me say this. We're drawing a line. That's not the law of the Bible. And we're going to stay with the Bible. We're going to be kind. They need Jesus. Okay? I'm not just going to start preaching this because of where things are going, and it's not going to be all of a sudden. But I'll say this. You're going to have a vocal pastor about it. You're going to have a vocal pastor about the right to life. Now, I don't want that to bother you. It ought not to embarrass you. But we need to stand for some things. We're drawing some lines. They've already been drawn in our church, and they're not changing. It's male and female. Now, we're going to love people. We're going to tell them about Jesus, okay? Now, you're not going to hear this every Sunday afternoon. Don't be afraid and say, I don't want to bring my visitor to church because this is what's going to be preached. No. You ought to know me by now. They're going to get the love of the Lord poured upon them. But we're going to stay true to the Bible. God created male and female. And anything outside of that, now listen to me. I don't want to hear your jokes about it. I don't want to be in that line that take pleasure in them. I want it to be, now listen, I get desensitized to sin because it's all around us and we just start saying, oh, that's just the way it is. You know what I've been praying this week? God, would you so burden my heart and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God that it's not funny to me, that it's not a satisfying pastime, that it's not just noise in the background. I'm not going to joke with our teenagers about stuff like that. Not going to. They don't need to hear that. They need to know what the Bible says. And we ought not to yield into that. And then I think we ought to search our hearts and lives. I believe this is talking about those that will take a stand against it outwardly, but in their hearts they know they're taking pleasure in it. I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to be a part of that number. God, I want to be so far removed from sin and from the pleasure of it and from those that are around. Hey, you know what the Bible's talking about in Romans chapter 1. God didn't have to spell it out any clearer for us that it ought not to be taking place and you ought not to be taking pleasure in it. We're going to love people. But Granite State Baptist Church, the line's already drawn. And we're going to continue to preach. We're going to hold to this Bible. Now you say, what's going to happen? Well, it may get to the point that we're not live streaming every service. You say, well, are you ashamed of all of that? No. We're going to take a stand, but can I say this? There's going to be enough that comes down the road, we don't need to invite any. Okay? Peter and I were talking about it. He said, well, if we need to, we can get back to the fact and record the service and burn some CDs. I said, yeah, we'll step back 20 years. I said, it used to be. I said, you have the service and you copy off DVDs and go hand them around to the shut-ins to be able to watch them and be able to be part of the service. You know something? If that's where we need to get to go, that's what we're going to do. But we're still going to come to church. We're still going to assemble. We're still going to gather. And this Bible is going to be opened. And church, I believe this. I believe you need to get it settled in your heart and mind on whether you're going to be faithful to the Lord. because I believe the day is coming. I believe it's coming. And it's this issue in Romans chapter 1 that they're going to try to destroy churches across our nation. And we need to have it settled. You say, Pastor, are you fearful? No, I got victory over fear. I got victory over fear. You know why? Because of the strength I possess. Now, I'm not inviting it in. I'm not foolish. But some of you have been in churches and you've so desired for them to take a stand for years, and they didn't. So don't bail out when you have one that's going to stand. And I appreciate our church. I appreciate our men. I appreciate our ladies. Appreciate our young people. And I appreciate them desiring, you desiring a pastor that's going to stand. Now, maybe it's just because I'll be the first one arrested, and you're like, hey, if he stands, we get him out of here. I'm not sure. But I will say this, we're not going to take pleasure in it. It's not a joking matter. It's sin. So if you've got it at home, and it's your favorite television programs, then you need to get some things right with God. If it's on your phones, and it's on your computers, and it's hid underneath the bed or in the credenza, wherever it may be, you need to get some things right with God. That's not who we are as Bible believers. It's just what we believe around here. And guess what? That was already written down before any of us were around. And the Bible's going to be our authority. So here's how we deal with this. We stay with Bible. We stay with Bible verses, Bible terminology, and we quote Bible because that's our authority. Do you notice this too? Can I say this? You didn't have to go back to Leviticus, where the world always wants to go to. You can come over to the New Testament church and say, here's where it's at, okay? Let's just settle in our hearts. We're going to live right, and we're going to live for God. If you need to do business with the Lord, then you do business with Him. If you need to quit laughing at some things, quit laughing at them. We had some teenagers that had to get rid of YouTube after camp because it wasn't right. They said, I'm going to quit looking at those things on YouTube. Might need to get rid of it again. The only thing you've got, moms, to be able to hand on is investing in the next generation. Don't get so caught up in everything else that you miss your kids growing up. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to come up with what I believe on my own. Lord, I believe you write it out for us. You've preserved it. There's nothing wrong with it. Lord, we just need to follow it. We need to believe it. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church. What a tremendous opportunity it is in a dark world for a church to shine bright, to live for you. What a time for you to send revival through Granite State Baptist Church. May we be seeking your face, as David said this morning in Psalm 27. May we be turning to you. May we draw strength not only from the Word of God and from you, but Lord, from each other. How important church is supposed to be in our lives to be able to draw strength from each other. Lord, help us to be found faithful. Help us to stay true to that which you've called us to believe. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful when you just read the Bible? It's all right there. Amen. And if there are any questions whatsoever about any of that, you can feel free to be able to come and ask. And I'll give you the telephone number for Brother Hebert, and he can answer your questions. Okay? It's just being faithful to his word. Hey, we're going to keep touching on some things in Sunday afternoon that we're not changing. Just what we believe, where we're at. Amen? Amen.